All right, I will call to order the Ethics Review Commission meeting for June 13th, 2018. The time is 6 o'clock p.m. We are in City Hall Room 1027. And staff, you'll please call the roll.
J. Michael O'Hurry.
Present.
Peter Einhorn.
Present.
Donna Beth McCormick.
Present.
Louise Soberon.
Present.
Deborah Danberg.
Here.
Trey Gober.
Present.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
Ben Stratman.
Here.
Mary Kale.
Here.
Dennis Spade.
Here.
A quorum is present. Thank you, everybody. We're going to skip past executive session. Don't have anything listed and wasn't told of anything that we need executive session for, so we'll go right past item one. And if there's no objection, I'm going to jump down and take item 4A out of order. We've got some folks from the League of Women Voters here on the City Council candidate forums issue. So if we can go ahead and get Laura and Keith and anybody else who needs to. Perfect. To come on up. Donna Beth, do you want to start with anything or just let them dive right in?
Yeah, I'll just recognize that I am still the committee of one on this commission that works with this group of the Public Information Group and the League of Women Voters to have the forums. And without this group, we would not be able to have the forums as we do. We have very good forums, and they do everything. So if y'all want to go ahead and start with what you've done and the reservations and dates and et cetera.
And if y'all would just state your names and who you represent when you start talking, that'd be great.
And did we have enough of these?
Everybody get yes. one?
Okay, yeah. Good.
My name is Laura Foss. I'm with the City of Austin Communications and Public Information Office. This is Keith Reeves. He's the station manager for ATXN and Carol Eckelkamp with the League of Women Voters. What you have before you is our proposal for the locations, dates, and times for the candidate forums for the 2018 election. All of these dates have been confirmed, but of course it's up to you guys to approve them. Most of these locations we've been to before. There are two new ones. Pan Am, we were going to go to Gus Garcia for District 3, but they will be under construction. But I've done a site visit, and it's squared away. The other one is the South Austin Senior Activity Center. We've had a couple events there also, and I've done a site visit for there. Also, great parking, I'll just add. But we've combined Districts 8 and 5 into one location, which is in District 5, but close to District 8. We also are proposing to have District 9 and the mayor same night here in Chambers, which is in District 9. The other language that you see on here is what we're proposing for the Power Plus insert. So every month there's a insert in the electric bill. So this would be the language for the electric bill. It depends on how much real estate we get on the paper. That second section, the don't forget to vote section, would either be included in the August version or in this. If they don't have enough real estate, we're proposing that it would be in the September Power Plus insert. And then I'm going to toss it to Keith. He will talk about ATXN's role, unless you have any questions about the logistics of the forum so far.
So in the election language that states what we do to support these types of events, there are three candidate forums that are required. One is the candidate forums for the with all the council members up there, all the candidates up there at the same time. For the forum, and that is going to be televised live. Every one of those will be live and archived on the city website. The second one is a five-minute candidate statement from each of the candidates. They can come in, read off a teleprompter, do it off the top of their head, whatever they want. Our goal would be to have those in our archive online by the time early voting starts. And the third one is the League of Women Voters questionnaire. And I don't know if you want to mention anything about that.
We've done it for a number of years with the city. It is
open to the public. The questions are open to the public ahead of time in various communications, both through the city communication department and through the league and through any other site. We try to get into the neighborhoods. The league tries, the city tries to get all of this into the neighborhoods and get it where we can. And I do depend on the communication office to give us some of this verbiage that we can put out into the neighborhoods. But we do have a leagueofwomenvoters.org address that we use in publication. It does come to me as the chair, and then we have a committee that we open up to help to get the questions. And it's usually dependent on various. We try to get numerous sides of issues to ask. And then we have our own from our study groups throughout the last years. And I've got the archives from the 10-1 and some of those issues. There are still some of those issues, so we are going to revisit a few of those that were in work with some of the particular districts. So it will be very transparent.
So all the videos and the questionnaire and other election info will be on austintexas.gov/10-1.
And the Ethics Commission is merely a sponsor of this. But all of y'all are welcome to go to any and all, especially the ones that are in your districts of your representative. And whenever it was 10-1, we had a lot.
It's 72 candidates.
That's right. And when we were, we had 12 or so at one place. And the league asks the questions. They do the timing. So far, we haven't had much disruption. One kind of, a couple, a little disruption, but that was all. And they're usually pretty well attended, and that's why we try to have them in the areas rather than, I think at one time they had them at City Hall or something years ago.
Before 10-1, they were all in the council chambers.
Because it was all at large, so now.
Yeah. If I may, if someone's running unopposed, they still get all of these different opportunities, right?
Correct. And then Donna Beth said, if it wasn't for the Public Information Office, this is the hardest thing that I have to do is coming to present to you guys. I would like to give a shout out to the Convention Center. They have an amazing staff who bring 200 chairs, a riser, pipe and drape, and they basically set up a television studio in a gym and make it nice at each of the venues, so they all look the same on television. We try and make it each district that everybody is treated exactly the same. And then ATXN runs a live television show from, you know, during the forum. So that they do all the heavy lifting. I want to be sure and give them all the credit.
And it is really nice, even in a gym.
Yeah,
it looks really nice.
I do have an ask of you all, is that if for the questions that the league asks, we would like questions from you all that you might want to ask your city council candidates from finance reform, from the ethics, things that have happened in the past. So that will be open, and I kind of expect at least 9 or 10 questions. and, you know, that the public that you think, again, we stress that the questions that we ask are to highlight the differences in the candidates and their opinions. And so that's what we'd like you to form those questions, that it would inform the public of what that candidate stands for and their feelings on such issues that you all deal with on a regular basis. So that's my ask of you all.
We probably have one or two this time.
Yeah, I mean, these are important.
Charter review.
Well, I mean, to speak to that, if you don't mind, the only problem with having a charter review question on there is that much of the charter review issues may be on the November ballot, so these candidates may never get to speak to those issues unless they've already spoken to them, having been incumbent. So throwing that out there. And that was a big topic of discussion, and we'll talk about this more, but that was a big topic of discussion yesterday at the work group.
Commissioners, are there questions or comments? I don't want to cut you all off either. You said you were going to be quick. That was quick.
Unless you guys have any...
They've been doing it so long, it's down to science.
I mean, if you're desperately looking for a comment, I'll tell you, I appreciate the fact that you're doubling up on some of these. I think that's got to draw more people there, hopefully, if they can kill two birds with one stone. So, yeah.
Is the South Austin Senior Activity Center located in District 5?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But not 8.
I was going to say, maybe a little bit far afield of District 8, isn't it?
On the edge.
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
I don't know where it is, probably. But
it's on enough.
And the only other place they have is some like buoy or something like that, but it's not.
So we've done
before Ben White.
We did District 5 and District 8 just down the street at ACC years prior, and this room is much bigger. The parking is much better.
That room was too small.
It was way too small.
Yeah.
But so we've had done 5 and 8 together before, and
there wasn't a great
much parking.
There wasn't a great alternative in District 8.
That's another thing.
We could find. There's library, but the space wasn't big enough. And Burger Center, which was too big. So.
And remember, you have to get it where we do not have to pay.
And the YMCA was another option in District 8, and they wanted to charge us, and we try and not spend
fair
any
enough.
Money.
Yeah.
Questions?
This is better.
What's the insert? Thank you, Chair. What's the insert that's going to be going into the flyer that?
So every month when you get your electric bill, there is an insert. It's called the Power Plus insert. I wonder how many people look at it. I don't know the answer. Carol does.
I look at the topic.
Donna Beth does. I sometimes do, but most often I guess I'm like it. But so it's a one page front and back, and so we'll just have a little bit of real estate on that that'll have this information that will go out to every electric City of Austin resident in the city, so they'll have the information.
So I understood that. I was trying to figure out what language. I was confused on that before part. Which language?
Oh, this is the language that will go. So it will be in English. The Power Plus is printed only in English.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm in which? What's the text? Does it start here that says "Don't forget to register to vote" and go all the way down?
So it's election season.
Oh, the whole thing.
So all this will go.
All of this
will go.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
They reformat it.
They'll reformat. Yeah, it won't take up a whole page. Yeah. It'll probably take up a half a page. And so if they give us this month, then all of it will go. If they don't have room, then we'll propose that this goes in the following month.
Okay, that makes sense.
Above the fold. Above the fold.
I'm sorry?
Above the fold.
Above the fold, yes.
Yeah.
Commissioners, are there other questions or comments? There's nothing else. Thank you all very much
for
this.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chair.
Great.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Guys,
too. We will see you again.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think that's a good question for Don and Beth. Commissioner McCormick, we don't need any kind of a motion to approve this.
No.
So this is already existing. Yeah. Okay.
It's something that we do that's in our bylaws.
I will get us back on track here and go back up to general citizen communication. All of the general citizens are walking out, but I will put a call out to make sure there's nobody here that wants to give any comment. I don't have anybody signed up. So down to item number 3A, report and recommendations of the Working Group on Charter Review Commission's recommendations. Commissioner Thompson. Caught him mid-laugh down there. I'm sorry.
I was just talking about how much better you were than the old guy.
Well, I'm sorry there was not a committee to reshuffle the seats and you got stuck next to it.
Sorry.
I learned from a great predecessor. So item 3A, the working group, Commissioner Thompson was, I think, our de facto lead, but obviously Commissioners Danberg, McCormick, and I believe Soberon were on that. Do you want to take the lead on that, Brian?
I can.
Great.
But obviously with input from the other working group members. As you recall, the last meeting and maybe even meetings before that, we discussed the Charter Review Commission's work. And of course, the Charter Review Commission is a commission that's there to make recommendations to City Council regarding changes to the charter that they recommend. And the Charter Review Commission has put out its final report, and we created a working group at our last meeting to review that report, made up of the commissioners that you just named. We met on May the 7th, we met on May the 9th, I believe, only 2 days after the Charter Review Commission's report had come down. And we all looked at that. There were some areas of concern, which most of these, I think, if not all of these, we've already discussed at meetings. I've put those in the report. The main areas of concern were the selection and qualification of members to the Independent Ethics Review Commission. If you recall, the Independent Ethics Review Commission is a body that the Charter Review Commission has proposed take the place of this commission. The main thrust of the reason why the Charter Review Commission feels that an independent Ethics Review Commission is necessary, and when I say independent, the main additional independence would be that the City Council has reduced or possibly no role in picking the members of that body. The main reason they think that that might be important is because of this Democracy for Dollars program that you should probably all remember us talking about, which is kind of a public financing situation where candidates for City Council can earn vouchers from citizens. And there was some concern that because incumbent City Council members who have appointed the members of this commission, because they might stand to get those dollars, and because that this new commission would administer that program, that you don't want that conflict of interest. I think that the working group doesn't necessarily disagree with that. However, I think there was disagreement, and I've probably been the most vocal person about that disagreement, about whether the auditor's office should be involved in that selection process, especially in light of criticism that the auditor's office has made publicly against this commission over recent decisions. And so we talked about that. I think that we would recommend that the city auditor's office not be involved in the selection process. Did you have a question?
I did. Just from a high level, Ryan, did y'all go into this from sort of a neutral view of looking at it as, okay, let's assume that they are going to have to review this recommendation holistically, and so we're going to talk about how to make it better? Or did y'all go in either for the recommendation or against it, or kind of split views? I'm just wondering if that colored y'all's conversation at all. Does that question make sense?
And I welcome input from other working group members, but I think that my response to that would be we did not... I don't think we discussed as a working group kind of, are we for an independent ethics review commission? Are we for a Democracy for Dollars program? I think that policy decision needs to be made at a higher level. I think our focus was more on, if this happens, these are the areas where we think, based on our expertise and based on our experience, there can be some tweaking.
But not from a position of support or opposition, but rather just tackling the issue at hand, which is the recommendation.
Yeah.
Cool. That's helpful. Thanks.
Yeah.
And what was wrong? What was wrong with it?
Yeah. Got it.
Did y'all have a discussion about an alternative to administering the dollars, democracy dollars, other than...
We didn't really get into
the independent. So, like, could the city clerk do it, or could some other entity do it?
Okay. Not really. Okay. Although I will tell you that at discussion, so yesterday the city council had a working group meeting about this, which I hope some of you watched. I certainly did.
Who all watched that? Just by a show of hands. Just
I didn't.
Straw poll. Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah.
The Jessica Bovino called it the most difficult 20 minutes of her life. Well, I thought she did a great job. I'm sorry, I forgot what the question was. I'm sorry, I forgot where we're going.
Alternative.
So Jessica Palvina, who was the chair of the Charter Review Commission, said that that I guess there's a default that if the Independent Ethics Review Commission is not created, then the clerk's office would administer the Democracy for Dollars program.
But in the way they laid it out, they were inextricably linked.
I'm sorry?
One was created for the other.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the way they sold it.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I don't think we wanted to really get into a are we for this or are we not for this, because that is going to be a bigger issue that council is going to have to make a decision on, and if council makes a decision on, the voters are going to have to make a decision on. So I'm not sure, I think our voice would kind of get lost in the fray if we commented on that.
Commissioner Danberg?
Yeah, we did have the feeling, though, that if the Democracy for Dollars program passed, that it was going to require an infrastructure to deal with it, whereas if the Democracy for Dollars didn't become reality, that the current structure was able to do what the current structure does. But the Democracy for Dollars thing is a very large demand of a whole different set of time and proficiency, you know, expertise. So
yeah.
So it's kind of like, yes, they're joined, but in some ways they are kind of standalone.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute with some comments that I've got, but to that exact point, it feels a little bit like we're annexing a piece of Dripping Springs and then naming ourselves a whole entire new city that's neither Dripping Springs or Austin. We'll just be Austin and just annex that piece. It feels like we're taking unnecessary steps a little bit, so I appreciate where you're coming from.
And I would absolutely agree with what Commissioner Danberg said. The other issue, and so we would recommend that the auditor's office not be involved at all in the selection of the proposed IERC. We also discussed the qualifications for the proposed members of this proposed commission. If you recall, I think the commission was generally concerned when we discussed this last about the fact that proposed members to this commission basically can be involved in no political activity. Yet they're supposed to have some expertise on ethics issues and city issues and things of that nature. It just doesn't seem workable. In addition to that, I think that if I remember correctly, that if you are on the commission, the proposed commission, you can't participate in essentially any type of political activity during the 5-year term that you're on the commission, and then I believe for 2 years after the term. I mean, you're essentially trying to find this zombie person on the streets of Austin who is really interested in doing things at City Hall, but has never done anything at City Hall in the history of their life. And I don't think it's workable. I think you disqualify the best candidates by doing that. And so we concluded that the limitations regarding who may qualify are way too constricted and need to be loosened. And we also concluded, kind of related, that the 5-year term of length for members is too long, especially in light of the fact that for 2 more years after that, you can't be involved in any political
activity.
And it's
not just city politics. It's any politics.
Yeah, I noticed it was nonspecific.
And Commissioner McCormick pointed out that one of the exceptions from this is for precinct chairs, and sometimes that can be the most political office in Austin.
Yes, certainly. Grassroots.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it just seems like there are some inconsistencies there. The third, and I'm kind of doing these under kind of broad categories.
Sure.
The third broad category was the cost regarding the commission and the Democracy Dollars program. Both of these, I think no one disagrees that would impose substantial cost on the city. I will tell you that after watching the working group meeting from yesterday from council, I do think that the Charter Review Commission has done their homework on what it will cost, which I believe is $1.5 million annually. I heard some good discussion about that. Where I think the work needs to be done additionally is, where's that money going to come from? Because when that question has been asked, the answer is, well, we hope it can come from, and I believe it's the Public Outreach Fund, which may be related to what we just heard.
Community Outreach Fund.
Yeah, Community Outreach Fund, which I think is around $1.5 million. What I don't hear when that question is asked, however, is, has anyone talked to whoever's in charge of that fund about the possibility of it coming into here?
What are we not paying for if we're paying for
this? Yeah. And so that's kind of the missing piece there. And so that we just did not think that the funding had been adequately studied or substantiated. I will tell you, there were some additional concerns that various members of the commission had. For example, Commissioner Danberg discussed the fact that, which we've just batted this around, especially with regard to the Fraser case, certain evidentiary issues related to hearings, related to the auditor's office having to disclose exculpatory evidence that they might have against a person who's been accused of an ethics violation. I wanted to limit this report to things that I think are kind of the top issues that would change, the top things that would change if the Charter Review Commission gets its way and these things are passed. And so I left that out of this report. Obviously, Commissioner Danberg, you're welcome to speak to that. The reason why I left some of the kind of what I'll call peripheral issues out of this is because I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of time with council or with the Charter Review Commission. And so I wanted to kind of really pinpoint the places where in our expertise, we think that we should comment on. And the reason I didn't choose that one is because the disclosure of that evidence, I don't think there's a rule on that now. And I don't think that this changes the fact that there's not a rule on that now. And so I just kind of wanted to make sure that we stuck to here are the places where major changes were going to happen. Here's what we think about those changes. And so I hope you've all had a chance to read the report. I mean, I basically just read through it. And I think the working group would just ask that that the commission approve this. I know that, I mean, I've been in contact with the chair of the Charter Review Commission, Ms. Palvino. They're anxiously waiting to hear what we have. I think that I'm not really sure what the next steps are on this. I think it goes on the council's agenda next meeting. I'm sure that's going to be a full agenda. I know that there was some concern at the working group meeting for the city council about the various things, bond election, other things that are going to be on the November ballot. I'll just tell you, reading the tea leaves, I didn't get the feeling that there's a whole lot of support for any of this from council. I just think they've got too much on their plate right now. Add soccer to that also. And so I don't know. That was my feeling.
Commissioner McCormick?
That's what I got out of it.
The other thing that we did talk about was the executive director who acts like a CEO and who kind of monitors this and the staff and the money, and it's just kind of a little bit much. So we talked about that too.
It has unilateral subpoena power.
Yeah. And actually, you know, the executive director has all the powers of a CEO of a corporation, just about. And who's monitoring this guy or gal or whoever it is? So that's something else we talked about.
Commissioner Chevron, I want to make sure you got a chance if you wanted to chime in.
I think the only thing that I would say, I think the scope of the report and the scope of the work that we did was very appropriate. My only comments would kind of be outside of the four corners of the paper. And that would just be that, you know, I understand that the establishment of an independent ethics review commission and the Democracy for Dollars program would not be in the same prop on the ballot, that they'd be separate propositions. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anyone?
I don't think, I mean, if I can speak to that, that this was actually a topic of discussion at the working group, too. When I say working group, I mean the city council working group that happened yesterday that was on video. I think that was a question that someone had, like, could we do this piece by piece, or would this all go on the ballot? And my understanding was is they were going to work with, like, legal and see how that needs to work, so.
Kind of at the end of the day, it's entirely possible that either through the election, the, you know, establishment of this new commission passes, but the Democracy Dollars program doesn't. Or it's possible that at some later date, I'll tell you there are people at the Capitol that are already thinking about it, that it could be preempted by state law. Like, they're, you know, that it is totally...
Because it's Austin.
because it's Austin. So it's entirely possible that, commission would survive, the creation of a commission would survive without the Democracy Dollars program.
That's a very fair point.
And I haven't seen in either the reports from the Charter Review Commission or in, you know, the presentations that we heard here in our commission, a solid independent justification for the establishment of the commission that doesn't rely on the Democracy Dollars program. So, I mean, because it'd be one thing if they had, you know, we needed to support this special Democracy Dollars program, and also it would have all these other benefits for the regulation of lobbyist activity, for reviewing complaints about city employees and all these other things that they're kind of throwing into the basket with this.
Things that we do.
Things that we do, yeah. I mean, like, if there are these added benefits to creating the independent commission that takes on all these other responsibilities, that's great. I just haven't seen that reflected, and that leaves me a little more skeptical of the endeavor, I guess. It's the only thing I would say.
I would say to that issue of, is the commission necessary without the Democracy Dollars program? I think that there have been some, I think there has been some effort, certainly I've seen effort in the press to what I think is concoct some reasons why we need an independent ethics review commission. And I think those ring hollow. I mean, we've been criticized, or I don't know if it's we've been criticized or process has been criticized or whatever, but there was a criticism that we're not, you know, ringing enough people up for ethics violations. Well, we consider what's brought in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been criticized for the Margot Fraser decision. I'll argue that that was the right decision until the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
And the auditor's office can say whatever they want to about it. But I can't see that we do not have an ethics commission problem. Mm-hmm. We may have a problem administering a Democracy Dollars program based on the work of 11 volunteers. That's kind of where I end up.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
As in, go ahead, Commissioner Sharma. Just, I mean, and I think I totally, you know, I recall some of those criticisms and, you know, quotes, but having not seen anything from the Charter Review Commission sort of officially or formally and not hearing anything, I mean, just a long way of saying that I agree. I don't see necessarily an ethics review commission problem that necessitates an independent ethics commission. And it'd be nice if there was a case made, and I just haven't seen it yet. Sorry, Commissioner
Damer.
Yeah,
I was going to hold on until we voted on this and then talk about the evidentiary issues, but since we're all kind of talking about all these things anyway, I think Brian did a great job.
Very merged. So.
Putting this together. Very tactful, very on point, very well written. But this has been a good exercise, I think, because it got some of us to really be more introspective about what is it that we are doing, what are our responsibilities, what are not. And although it's not the case now that the auditor's office has to give exculpatory, and this wouldn't be changed by this either way, as I think about it, I'm not sure they shouldn't be required to. The reason being that, I've kind of used this analogy before, it's like the auditor's office are the police who do the investigation. They're like the on-beat police who do the arrest. They're like the
forensic analysts,
investigators, forensic analysts, okay. And the prosecutors. And in a system where there are, in fact, guaranteed rights and responsibilities on behalf of all sides of a dispute, a defense attorney would ask for any exculpatory evidence, and the police, the DA's office is required to make the police cough it up, because the DA's office is there to defend. They're not prosecutors so much as they are attorneys for the state,
for the law.
For the law. And so they're not going to feel right about a conviction that's held on evidence when they know that some exculpatory evidence was withheld. So I'm not sure that we shouldn't be requiring the auditor's office to give both the exculpatory evidence and the condemning evidence when they present the stories to us. Now, they do a little bit of that. You know, they have said, well, you know, it's only a few times that this has happened. or most of the time this hasn't happened, but we brought you the three times that it did out of the 4,000 communications. But I think that since they're on the ground and they're looking at all the evidence that we can't look at, we can't look at all that evidence. There's no way that we as volunteers would have time or tools to do it. I think they should have to give us both the exculpatory and the condemning evidence that they have come across and let us weigh it.
I think that Lynn Carter with the law department, I think that may have been some of the changes that city council recently adopted, but I will make sure and give y'all a copy of the final ordinance and point that out to you in an email by tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
We may not see anything anytime soon. We haven't seen anything from the auditor's office of late, and I don't know if we'll see anything until after November shakes out, but that's just me opining. Commissioner O'Hare?
Was there any discussion at all about the technical requirements of members that would be on the new independent review?
Only that it was overly restrictive.
So I know that there were questions about their political involvement. What about the technical requirement? I think it was that they, I don't know what the specific term was, but something like fiduciary duty, be able to.
I think they listed six or seven different areas of expertise that they might have. And I think the last one had an or before it. So it was as if they had to fit into one of those boxes.
Yeah, they had changed it. So if you recall, we had a lively discussion with the chair and the vice chair of the Charter Review Commission who came before us two meetings ago, I think. And this was an issue we really talked about. And they went back and delivered that message to the commission, and they made some changes to that. And the main change that I remember from that, and this was the thing that said, you know, the member needs to be an expert on campaign finance, ethics, you know, kind
accounting.
Of the, all these umbrella topics that we consider. And I think at that point that the conjunction was and that they use. So like 1, 2, 3, and 4. So yeah. You got to be an expert on all these things, but yet you better not have ever spoke out for a candidate in the history of your
Theory, you really care about those things enough to learn about them.
And one of the changes they made was making that 1, 2, 3, or 4. Mm-hmm. You know how that works in the law. So I think that has at least broadened that pool of candidates that might qualify. So we did talk about it. They did, but I do think that the commission, the Charter Review Commission, kind of listened to our concerns on that and made a change. On this issue of the auditor's office not being involved in the selection, they also told the commission about our concerns about that, and the vote was taken on that, and it was very close, and it failed. I think there's 8 members. I think it was 5-3 or something like that, if I remember correctly. But that was discussed, and they rejected it.
Commissioner Harry, are you good?
I am, yeah.
Commissioner McCormick?
On the democracy dollars business, you know, I travel in a lot of circles, and some of the meetings that I have gone to, it has been talked about. And there is a flyer brochure out about it. And when Women for Good Government, which has a bunch of very vocal women, that was talked about, and I sent the link from the Charter Review Commission about democracy dollars, and I said it's not all as you presented it because there are pitfalls, and you need to read this. This is from the Charter Review Commission, and I also sent the link for the ethics so they can look at this too, but there's a lot of groups out there that are talking about it. So we need to get our opinion out.
Certainly. And I think, you know, the process obviously would be council taking it up, putting it on the ballot, and then I guarantee you if it goes on the ballot, which I have doubts about, there's going to be a lot of discussion about it.
So with that in mind, let me jump in with a thought here. We've got, we can discuss this as much as we like, we've got a question before us about whether we want to take an action item here. We are obviously not compelled to take action on this report, which was really well done and appreciated. I would assume, I could be wrong, I would assume that the majority, if not all of the commissioners would like to formalize this document in some fashion and send it to the appropriate folks. But I also think that before we do that, we may want to bat around a little bit more if anybody has any views on either end of the spectrum here. Maybe there's some people who feel a bit more vociferous about opposing the Charter Review Commission's recommendations. Maybe there's some people here who are very in favor of what they said. And so I certainly don't want to surpass that and go straight into agreeing, disagreeing, or anything with what's here. Commissioner Einhorn? Chairman Emeritus Einhorn?
On the Independent Ethics Review Commission, they just didn't make a compelling case. On the democracy dollars, I feel like it's not baked yet. I feel like I want this. I want to want this, but I don't. Because I just don't know enough about it. They haven't made a compelling enough case about, you know, the law. If they haven't studied something thoroughly enough, the law of unintended consequences is gonna rear its head. And I don't want this to fail, because this is an opportunity to expand direct democracy to people who can't afford to make campaign contributions, which would bring in huge segments of this city into the process, give them a voice. And unfortunately, as long as Citizens United talks about money being speech, you know, this is how our democracy works. So giving people a chance to weigh in a way, I want to want this, but I just, it's not ready. And so, you know, I like what the working group has come up with. I do think that we should add a statement at the beginning of it that talks about the fact that the commission simply does not take a position pro or con on either of these, but we offer these very specific. I think we should explicitly say we're not opposed or for any of the proposals, but we offer these comments on aspects of it.
Commissioner Thompson.
Let me tweak that a little bit, because I agree with you, and it should have been in there to begin with. Do we have a consensus that without the Democracy Dollars program, there's certainly no need for an independent ethics commission.
I'd agree with that either way.
Well,
I don't think you need it either way, but
yeah. I was going to say, I'm not convinced that even with the Democracy Dollars, this is not something that we couldn't put in charge the clerk with and provide the clerk with the resources to implement.
Right. So a couple of comments to that. I think you ask a great question, and I'll say this, Commissioner Thompson. I think the two, especially for this group of people who have a unique opinion for obvious reasons, I think the two have been ill-fated in their inextricable linking together, because Chairman Emeritus Einhorn is thinking much more outside of the box than I've been able to bring myself to do, because I'm having a hard time staking out a position on the Democracy Dollars issue. Because all I can keep thinking about is the justification of the Independent Ethics Review Commission is to facilitate this program, which, again, I won't repeat my annexation example, but I think there it's a solution in search of a problem is actually a generous way to describe it. I think it's worse than that, and so I think I'm having a hard time uncoupling those two. I think it was the chair. I'm not sure who she was, but the representative that was speaking. For the most part, in the work session yesterday, said the Independent Ethics Commission recommendation really arose out of the Democracy Dollars program and needing to have an independent body administer that program separately. Exactly. So in case anyone had any confusion, mm-hmm. I mean, the person, the head of that commission, stated that word for word, and there's nothing wrong with that, except that I think that they're maybe throwing out the baby with the bathwater a little bit. So just from my personal perspective, I'm not uncomfortable with the concept of putting this into a little bit more of a formalized document and tweaking it as Commissioner Einhorn said. I will tell you in full disclosure, separately, I have drafted a letter to the mayor and council members, and the second sentence in a two-page letter clarifies that I speak for none of you but only myself. So don't worry, if I go down in flames, you're not going with me. But I very politely but clearly lay out some of my concerns, and I think that the two big ones that I lay out are, first, like I said a second ago, I can't seem to find the light switch to shine light on why they've linked these two things together. And then beyond that, I think going a little bit to what Commissioner Thompson said about a little bit of a narrative that may be existing out there by a very small select group of people, that there's some bias going on because of a loyalty, fidelity, accountability to our appointing council members. And I specifically cite a couple of examples in here, including the fact that I have not spoken to my council member on anything Ethics Review Commission related in over 3 years, except for one clerical question. And I also talk about how one of our long-lost colleagues voted against his own appointing council member twice in a preliminary and final hearing, as we all remember, most of us remember, with Kenneth. So I think that there's an implication there that is problematic, at least from my end, especially considering the irony of the people that are recommending these changes are appointed by council, as the Charter Review Commission is. So that's, I'm going to go right to you in 1 second. Like I said, in full disclosure, I want to let y'all know that I'm doing that. Everybody will get a copy of that letter. But I have some stronger feelings about it, and it's not because I'm attached to this. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not getting any newspaper coverage or riches out of being on this commission. So if they want to pull us off, that's fine. But I think that this change is, it's misguided. Very well intentioned, I'm sure, but I think it's misguided. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. Commissioner Thompson.
I'm going to consult our commission historian, Commissioner McCormick. How long before 10-1 passed do you think people were talking about 10-1?
Oh.
Shit. Decades.
A long time,
decades.
Right?
Decades.
Sorry, that comment from the record.
The reason I bring that up is because I think that half-baked is the one term that's been tossed around, but I just think this is a baby, this thing, this idea, right? And I think it could happen. I think it could not happen. I have serious doubts it's going to happen anytime soon. But either way, you know, you don't want to torpedo a half-baked idea because it's still half-baked, you know? And so that's why I kind of like that we're not stating a position on these big issues, because I don't think a position should be stated at this point. You know, what I'm trying to say is that, like with 10-1, you know, these things happen and they're born and then they get some momentum over the years and all of that stuff. I mean, I think this is going to be an issue that is, if it happens, it's going to be years in the making. It's not going to happen in November. And so that's why I kind of want to take a little more neutral approach on the policy side of this.
Totally agree. And the only thing I left out that I'm really glad you mentioned that for is I explicitly stated in my letter that I have no position on the democracy dollars issue. I'm just talking about the validity of an IERC versus what we have. Commissioner McCormick, I know you're...
And I've talked to the mayor and I've talked to my commissioner.
Yeah.
When the mayor said, what do I think about, I unloaded on him about the Ethics Review Commission proposal from the city charter.
I've got a meeting with him in a couple of weeks. I'll ask him how it went with you.
You can't tell me, Donna Beth, you didn't say we are not Seattle.
Because yes, she did.
You had to have said that.
Oh, yes. That's true.
Because I have all caps text messages to Chair Palvino saying that. So I wanted to make sure that she got that message.
I am not. We are not Seattle. And also, we are a very good commission. We get along. We follow the law. We don't need this other stuff going on out there. So don't be giving us hard times like this. And I was on it when we were 7 members. Now we're 11 members. They want to have 3 members as a quorum. You can stack that deck any day of the week. So
although
that's
crazy. That was a change. It was originally 5, that's and they changed
right.
it to
7.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, right.
Because of timing, I don't think we have time to send this back and make this little change or that little change. I think that it's really ripe to have it be now. I think that Commissioner Thompson did a great job on summarizing those things that we all felt and doing it in a way that was not inflammatory or anything like that. I mean, I think it's very well done as an official document.
Yeah.
And so, unless y'all have objections, I would like to be recognized for a motion to adopt this recommendation as the full commission's position and distribute it among all the council members and the charter committee and anybody else that
appropriate
should.
Entities. Yeah. Let's look for a second. Recognize. So let's look for a second and then we can discuss.
I will second. I don't know if this is proper procedure, but I do like Commissioner Einhorn's addition of just right up front stating these are the things we didn't, these are the broad topics we didn't take a position on.
Well, let me jump in and ask a technical question. Yes. I'll lean back this direction towards counsel, counsel with an E, not an I. I wonder what options we have, not breaking any rules about a walking quorum or taking a vote outside of a public meeting, but I wonder within the law what options we have if we were to kick it back to Commissioner Thompson to make some tweaks as he understands to be the will of the commission, and then maybe email that out with everybody BCC'd, and not for a vote, but just basically if anyone had any major heartburn, they could reply back just to him. I don't want to fall into a gray area. That's why I'm asking the question transparently.
I bet he could do it right here at the table.
He could do it right now.
I think it has to be edited here.
It has to be edited here. Or we could vote to authorize him to do it, but then he can add anything he wants.
That's right. Then we'd have to trust him.
I have a feeling that Commissioner Thompson could actually write that sentence as we sit here.
I'm certain that he could. So, especially
considering his
seatmate
over there. And then we could actually vote on the document itself.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that. Y'all want to?
We'll be quiet so you can think.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
We can write it up and then I think that'll be fine. And then
we can take a short recess.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say because we're getting close to the end of our item here. Is there? I guess while we're doing it, we don't want to add too many ornaments to the Christmas tree. But is there anything anybody else wants to see added in there, Commissioner O'Hare?
And I didn't know how to do this procedurally. If it makes sense, just to vote on this and then maybe add an additional element. One other thing I want to have addressed is just the due process to make sure that there is an independent due process mechanism outside of the IERC. So if someone were to complain that they had somebody to have redress with, whether that's a municipal court judge or whoever it might be.
Do you mean like complaints about the IERC?
No, I mean if they disagree with the ruling. I think an individual should
appeals
be
appeals process.
An appeals process.
It's not contemplated in the charter stuff, is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's germane to this particular thing that we're doing right now, although obviously, I agree with you.
Well, I think in terms of whether this, what issues the body might have with the IERC, I think if somehow, since there's so many issues in terms of whether the auditor's office is going to be a part of it, what the selection process is, I think it's appropriate to say it'd be nice to have an independent appeals process. Does that make sense?
I actually thought we talked about that two meetings ago.
I think we did.
And that we assumed that it would have to go to a municipal judge at that point, I think, is what we assumed.
Yeah, and I might also say that may be somewhat complex to add in at this late juncture, not disagreeing with the concept. I think piggybacking a little bit off of what you're saying, Commissioner Harry, I would encourage each of you at your own discretion and will to either reach out to all the council members and the mayor or maybe your own respective council member. Again, nobody's got to do what I'm doing, but I feel pretty strongly about this. And if that's the type of thing that you feel strongly about, Commissioner Hurry, I think especially with your knowing your background and your professional expertise, I think your voice is one that could be lended very appropriately to the process to say, hey, here's who I am. Here's why I'm contacting you. I'm not for or against this, but if you go through with this, understand I have these concerns, and that may be something worth doing. I certainly don't think it hurts to have more than a couple of comments sent their direction from this group. So,
as a commission, Lynn Carter with the law department, you could also ask for more time to study it. In the sense that if there's action, if it's going to be on the November election, the decision has to be made by council by August 20th.
Right. And I will repeat and emphasize what Commissioner Thompson said. I know it looks like only three or maybe four of us raised our hands that we watched the work session yesterday, but I fully agree with him that this does not necessarily feel like it has the legs to go the distance. And that's not a comment for or against it. That's just me wearing my most neutral hat. It did not sound to me, I think Commissioner Spate and Thompson would agree that it had the steam behind it.
You got at the very least, they said there's too much stuff on the ballot already.
Yeah.
Bond election, potentially Code Next.
Yeah.
The soccer thing that they want done tomorrow. So it's just the looks on their faces were like, "Oh my god, another thing."
Put this on now?
I'll tell you too, from a procedural perspective. Not to get back into our favorite old conversation about the Uber ballot language, but from a procedural perspective, the average voting Austinite is going to look at whatever shows up on a ballot, especially to Commissioner Soberon's point. If they are separated into two different issues, the average civically engaged Austinite is going to go to the ballot box. They're going to look and they're going to read something to the effect of, do you support or oppose the establishment of an independent ethics review commission to focus on, finance and campaign and ethical lobby issues, for the city of Austin. I can't think of a person who would vote against that. An opportunity to create more transparency and ethics and all those things, have at it. So essentially, we're swept. This existing commission is swept out.
Swept into a good idea.
Correct. So this commission is essentially swept out because the average voter has no idea that we exist.
That's right.
So I have serious concerns about that too. Commissioner Sobro.
So I think because they're not that I'm a stickler for parliamentary procedure, but there's a motion.
You are the secretary.
Is that / parliamentarian?
Yeah.
No, the vice chair is the parliamentarian.
I don't trust you.
Are you kidding me? Wait a minute, you didn't tell me that.
You weren't supposed to say that. You're out of order. All right, as Commissioner Soberon was saying.
Somebody on the bailing side of the vote has to do a motion.
Hang on, let's let Commissioner Soberon finish his thought.
Well, just that we either table the motion and recess to add the sentence that we've been discussing, or somehow dispose of the motion that is before us.
Yeah, I think we... It's, yeah.
Okay, I withdraw it until we get the new words. How's that?
I think you... Okay,
and write your sentence and we can get on.
Either way, let's hear real quickly what Brian's got. And then
so my amendment would be... So my amendment would be to add a Roman numeral 2, and then everything else would move down. So 1 would be introduction, and then Roman numeral 2 would be items not addressed, because under that is items of concern and conclusion. And the statement would say, the working group took no position regarding the IERC or to the Democracy Dollars program broadly. Rather, the working group worked to develop consensus on the particular items addressed below, based on the ERC's experience and expertise.
Perfect.
I think that sounds good.
That's great.
I think that sounds good, yeah.
And then the rest just get renumbered.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Like a good old-fashioned motion where we say, including appropriate renumbering and non-clerical. Mm-hmm. Real quick before we go back to it, Commissioner Kale.
I don't understand why we couldn't add something with respect to an appeals process on this document, given that we have several other specific recommendations about it. Why can't we do that?
Certainly nothing prohibits us from doing it if we just go through the process we just went through before. I was only commenting to Commissioner O'Hara that I thought it might be a little bit rigorous for a quick amount of time, but if y'all feel passionate about it, I will absolutely not stifle it, and I'm happy to put us into a 10-minute recess. If y'all want to write something up, I'm sure that the commission would be willing to wait. I've got no commission.
So my position on that, and this is my kind of because there were other issues, as Commissioner Dan Berg and Commissioner McCormick, Commissioner Soberon have said, there were certainly other issues discussed at the working group meeting in addition to these issues. My problem with adding things like the exculpatory evidence issue, due process, and appeals, I think that certainly, first of all, I'm not sure what actually goes into the charter when this is all done. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's kind of these are procedural issues that will be developed after the charter is changed or what. But I wanted to try, because we're going to get such limited time with council on this, I wanted to try to limit what we discussed to things that are kind of, you know, this is going to be a revolutionary change if adopted. Okay, well, what are those things? Okay, well, the selection of the members to this and kind of who we expect to be on this commission. Well, that's certainly something that's going to change.
Yeah,
I also tried to stick with kind of things that we had already kind of brought up when we discussed it with the chair and the vice chair of the commission. And I'll tell you that the cost issue is certainly something that council's already in tune with. That was something that they talked about at that meeting yesterday. I don't remember if the selection being out of the auditor's office was discussed, but I do remember the issue of if the commission fails but democracy dollars happens, the clerk's office could administer. I do remember that being. Do y'all remember if the selection of the commission members was discussed? I don't think it was.
No,
I didn't.
So I guess my thing is, we're just going to get such a small window of opportunity that I kind of just wanted to streamline. But obviously, amend all you want.
And I intend to look at whatever it is that you were saying council has recently passed. And if it's not really addressing what I'm talking about as far as the exculpatory evidence, you know, I'll do my own letter and I'll also ask the commission to do something specifically on that.
And I will help you do that and help you get on the agenda.
I might recommend a good old-fashioned soft straw poll about the temperature for entertaining Commissioner Kale / O'Hara's addition, so that way we don't ask them to take 10 minutes and put a bunch of work into it if people aren't feeling like they're... Does anybody feel strongly about taking a break and giving them the time to maybe work that in, or are we maybe more feeling...
It shouldn't take very long.
I don't think it's germane to this document.
Okay.
Sorry?
I don't think it's germane to this in that it, you know, it's beyond what was in the proposal, and therefore we didn't consider it in the proposal, whereas everything else that's on here is stuff that was actually, you know, responses to what was in the proposal.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd like to ask y'all to do it separately the same way I'm hoping to do with exculpatory evidence.
Commissioner Severo?
If I can ask our city staff, so currently for decisions that come out of our commission, those are not appealable to council, right? Or are they?
We think it goes to city court.
We think it goes to municipal court. Not.
I think there is an appeals process.
There's a due process for us.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
Sure.
I think it's...
And for everyone, the reason I asked that is because I wouldn't want us to, I think it's already been centered in into a Christmas tree where we are like trying to create an ideal commission that's, you know,
that some of us don't even like in the first place.
Right. And I think, yeah, just to sort of echo what's already been said, I think limiting the scope of the document we put forward to proposed amendments and to the report that the Charter Review Commission issued, I think is maybe a more focused and potentially effective way to relay our concerns.
And Commissioner Soberon, if I'm just hearing you correctly, what it sounds like you're saying is that if a person doesn't have an appeals right within this commission and within this process, then it wouldn't necessarily make sense to bring it up when discussing the IERC, the independent ERC?
I think just it is certainly something that I think is important, right? I think that any decision-making body that passes judgment and imposes sanctions should have an appeals process. Just to say that if it's not something, if it's not something that we currently do, or if it's different than something we currently do, and if it's something that wasn't brought up by the Charter Review Commission, that I don't think it necessarily warrants inclusion in the document that we pass on to council. Not to speak on the wisdom of having an appeals process, period, or what the appeals process looks like, just for purposes of passing this document on to decision makers in the city.
Commissioner, so, hold that thought one second.
Just to answer, Lynn Carter with the law firm, to answer the question, there is not an appeal process now, but the Independent Ethics Review Commission, I think if you compared penalties, would have a broader range of options than this commission. This commission, for example, can refer for criminal prosecution. I think if you compare penalties, there may be a bigger range of penalties that the Independent sure. Ethics Review Commission, their draft has given them.
How so?
And their actual proposal is to put language into the charter, and I'd have to look at it specifically, but they did not stop at reprimand. You know, your options, I think, go to reprimand, and I believe that they have provided different language. And so one thing to keep in mind, if it were to go forward, the charter language as they propose, if council didn't change it, change the actual recommended language. If they were just to adopt the recommendation, make no changes, ballot item passes, that becomes the charter language. So it's pretty detailed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can change by any other means other than a future charter amendment. So I guess what I'm saying is you'd really need to look at those specific language in what's proposed to go on the charter to see if there are due process concerns.
Commissioner Kale was first, and then Commissioner Einhorn.
I just had a logistical question. When is City Council taking up our recommendations?
All right. Is it on the council agenda tomorrow? In theory?
No,
I don't know that this item is on the council agenda tomorrow.
It's not.
So yeah. When would be sort of our deadline, or our, when would they need our input, either as individuals or as a group?
My understanding is that it could be on the next council agenda. I think it does. It have to be if it's going to go on the ballot.
Well,
it have to be
June 28th and August 9th are the two regular meetings between now and August 20th deadline. As the process is, it would require four council members to sponsor an item from council to put it on one of those council meetings, or there would have to be a special meeting called, and that has not even been discussed.
It was unclear that there were four.
I think you said June 28th.
Would be the earliest. It's not
the earliest it could be is June 28th.
Yeah, I'm just wondering when they want to hear from it.
I'm going to be perfectly blunt about it. Judging from their comments and body language from yesterday, I don't know if they want it on the. I don't know if it's going to get on the agenda.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think there were four people that would put it.
Yeah,
on the
agenda. I agree.
And I'll tell you,
they've got so much else.
Commissioner Kale. I mean, I'll tell you, I penned this letter as soon as I got done watching that, because I agree with Commissioner Thompson, and from a personal, solely speaking for myself, from a personal perspective, I view this as a helpful nail in the coffin of the issue.
Right.
And so that's where I'm coming from. I think that these more neutral comments that are, call them educational, to the council and to the mayor, are probably valuable at any given time. So, but I do think sooner rather than later. I think to put a cap on this, or I'm sorry, Commissioner Einhorn, you had your hand up.
I was just going to say I am supportive of
the notion of adding an appeals process, and I am supportive of the idea of the notion of addressing exculpatory evidence, I do not think that they should go in the city charter. City charter is too hard to change. I think that they should go in city code, and that's something the council does, not the voters of Austin. I just don't think that the charter is the place for either of those things to be addressed.
Okay. So in a genuine effort not to stifle anything down here from Commissioners Kale or Ohuri, do the two of you, would you like to take a short recess, talk about it for a couple more minutes amongst yourselves, and put some thoughts together, knowing that obviously we'd put that to a vote? I think we clearly would want to make it a separate motion from Commissioner Danberg's motion. I do not want to stop you all from taking that opportunity on an up or down vote.
Do we have a second on Commissioner Danberg's motion?
I think she technically withdrew it, but yeah.
So okay. Once we got
so
Brian's,
but I think
we can do it again.
I think there's some clear opinions on the Ohuri Kale motion or concept, so we're going to separate those regardless.
Yeah, I think
so.
What we should do is just go ahead, take a vote on the initial motion, then we can just take a vote on whether we should amend the voted on resolution and include this information. Does that make sense?
I'm happy to do it that way. Sure.
Yeah.
So in that case, I would entertain a revised motion from Commissioner Danberg to you're just throwing up a second. Gotcha. Take a revised motion from Commissioner Danberg to
Richard Nixon impression.
I'm from the Senate. That's a no. I would take a revised motion from Commissioner Danberg to incorporate Commissioner Thompson's appropriately renumbered and reformatted document with the additional sentence that he read earlier, which I'm going to get him to read again here in 1 second. And any other clerical changes. So if you'll read that one more time, Commissioner Thompson.
So there would be a Roman numeral 2 added and pushed everything else down. The heading of that would be items not addressed, and the text under that, under a bullet, would be the working group took no position regarding the IERC or the Democracy Dollars program broadly. Rather, the working group worked to develop consensus on the particular items addressed below, based on the ERC's experience and expertise.
And what would be included under the bullet, things not addressed?
Just that sentence.
The IERC and the Democracy Dollars Program.
Okay. Okay, that's my motion.
So moved by Commissioner Danberg, seconded by Commissioner Thompson. Discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Is that unanimous? I'm looking down the line. Okay, all those opposed? Abstain? Okay, please show all commissioners present voting in favor. Commissioner Ohuri, I don't want to try to put words in your mouth on this, so.
Yes, I would just add, let me come by your pen.
Go for it.
Just add that on the resolution that has just passed under, I believe it's now numeral 3, that there be added a line, I guess number 4, that will say the appeals process available to citizens and or city officials, and just leave it at that. That's the working group discussed the following concern regarding the report, the appeals process available to citizens, and would ask that an appeals process be made available that is independent of the IERC.
Okay.
Take
a second, write it down. We're not going to recess. We're all just going to pause and talk amongst ourselves.
You're very popular.
Are we waiting for a second?
We're going to let him finish that sentence and write it out. You got time, J. Michael.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
I need a button down here for some music. That I can hold down while we're kind of
some elevator music.
Jeopardy music. I
mean, I'm not going to say that the lack of acquiring one of those buttons was a failure of the former chair, but I definitely think it's something that he could have done.
You can have my iPhone if you want. There's lots of buttons on there that'll play music.
The newly appointed or newly elected vice chair is very excited about kicking off timer duties to somebody else.
Yes,
told me
they're yours now.
He's itching for
them. Oh no! But you're the official timer.
So this is the motion.
I tell you what, will you wait? Let's wait for Brian. I think he just ran to the restroom real quick. Since it's kind of his lead document. How's your new baby, J. Michael? Let's get that on the record.
How's my new baby? She's two and a half. She's doing well, though. She's modeling on her own. Not officially. She just likes to pose with the camera.
All right. With Commissioner Thompson back in the room. So Commissioner O'Hara is going to make a motion to add the following.
They add the following under number four for bullet roll of Roman numeral three. The appeals process available to citizens. The Ethics Review Commission believes there should be some serious consideration of appeals process separate and independent of the proposed IERC.
So that's a motion.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Danberg. Discussion? I'm sure there might be some.
I'll just make my last pitch on this issue. Not knowing if and when this is going to happen, I tend to agree with Commissioner Thompson and believing that it might be years before this could actually happen. But knowing that this would be the first official document from the Ethics Review Commission, I believe it's important that this issue be stated, that it somehow not be missed or overlooked when there is further discussion on the issue. And that's why I think it's important to have it included in this document. I understand that there are other issues that were discussed but not brought up, but not knowing how this is going to end, not knowing how the members are going to be picked and decided upon, I think it's important that that citizens know that they're not being railroaded in some way by a process, if it happens the way it's already been initially proposed, might obfuscate, I guess, the selection process or the qualifications of individuals. So I just think it's important that right now it be made clear that the Ethics Review Commission would like citizens to be empowered with some type of appeals process, especially given that the powers of the IERC as proposed would be different and more substantial.
Commissioner Einhorn.
I'll just say that I'm not going to support this motion for the one, for the reason I stated previously, that I don't think it belongs in the charter, that I think it probably belongs in city code. And the second thing is, it sounds like we don't have an appeal process currently with the ERC, let alone the IERC, and that is something that I'd be interested in working with Commissioner Hurry to look at, whether there's a process, a way we can create an appeal process for our current practices, because I agree we're years off from this probably, and we probably should have an appeal process for our the way we transact and handle these complaints.
Yeah, I feel comparatively ill-informed to on the issue as J. Michael is, but I appreciate the broadness of the way he's written it, but I agree with what you said about the existing processes that we have in place. Commissioner Thompson?
I was just going to say I agree with Commissioner Einhorn, especially on just kind of the trying to keep this report narrow and defined. Also, you know, I think it's a little inconsistent to say we're doing a hell of a job here at the Ethics Review Commission, but maybe we need someone to look at what we're doing. You know what I mean? Maybe we need an appeals process to say whether we're actually doing a heck of a job or not. I mean, I think because that's kind of what we're saying in the first instance is, oh, we don't need an independent ethics review commission because we're doing fine down here. But then this is a little bit inconsistent by saying, but actually maybe somebody should look over our shoulder. So I'm going to vote against the motion. But I appreciate it and certainly would work on kind of taking this out of the report, work on this issue separately.
Commissioner Chevron.
I just, you know, I think it was helpful for our city staff attorney to kind of frame the issue a certain way, rather like frame current process and process under the proposed amendments for me, because now I feel somewhat conflicted, in part because under their proposed amendment, the first penalty that they are able to levy, this IERC, are criminal penalties. That's not something that we have. And I do think that kind of raises the stakes, at least for me, as to whether or not we think, you know, I would, if I would, I need to make up my mind on this right now, but I would encourage that the language reflect that, given the stakes that are raised and the penalties under the IERC, due process becomes greater concern, is how I would. I don't have an amendment to change the language yet because I haven't thought of it, but I would put that before you.
Further discussion? Hearing and seeing none, we've got a motion by Commissioner O'Heary and a second from Commissioner Danberg, I believe. All those in favor, aye. Commissioner O'Heary, Kale, and
Gober,
thank you. I'm glad I said it correctly. And by said it correctly, I mean you said it correctly and I heard you. All those opposed, Commissioners Einhorn, Thompson, and McCormick, and Spate, abstained. Commissioners Danberg, Soberon, and Stratman. So that, I think, that fails on a 3-4-3 vote, interestingly. Okay. Any other motions before we move off this? Hearing and seeing none. I'm going to, unless there's someone opposes, I'm going to skip past 3B because I think it is relatively rolled in with 3A. I'm going to go once, going twice. Okay. Moving down to new business, we already did 4A, 2018 City Council Candidate Forums. Before we go to 4B, I'm going to completely break Robert's Rules of Order and add my own new item, which is to say welcome to Commissioner Trey Gober, who we didn't say.
Yay!
And give him the floor. Yeah. Give him the floor if he wants it to make a comment of any kind.
Not really. It is a bit eerie. I've listened to several of the past meetings. I'm probably the only person that listens to those. So I'm
agreed.
You are on some list by the city of, oh, this person actually listened to it. So it's eerie in the sense that I recognize a lot of voices. So I'm not as uninformed as I could be, but obviously y'all have been doing this a long time. Hopefully can catch up pretty quickly.
Will you give us, Trey, like the quick 10-second, where you're from, what you do, all that?
So I'm a personal injury attorney, history in a lot of criminal defense, written a petition for cert to the Supreme Court, so a lot of interesting work, but, you know, people in prison don't pay anything, so that's all for the help.
Well, you'll feel right at home here.
Yeah.
We're just one away from that lawyer majority.
That's right. We're getting close. North Carolina decision.
Live in just north of the Arboretum area. So have an office there.
Awesome.
Are you Councilmember Flanagan's?
Correct.
Is that right? Yeah.
I'm sorry, who?
Flanagan.
Jimmy Flanagan.
Well, welcome. We're really glad to have you. And I apologize that I did not say that sooner. So thank you for being here.
I think I got to say hi to everybody.
Yeah.
So,
and
there's only four of us that aren't lawyers.
Yeah, I said we're close to.
I'm not a lawyer. We're shrinking.
Five.
I know it. And Ben's not. And I'm not in Mary.
I'm the chair. I get two non-lawyer votes.
I'm not a lawyer.
You went to law.
I just play one on TV.
Also, unscheduled new business, in the event that y'all did not see it, Commissioner Harding, Megan Harding, who was our outstanding vice chair under Commissioner Einhorn's reign, has tendered her resignation, I believe effective yesterday or maybe the day before, for personal reasons, very positive letter that I think you all got a copy of. And if you related, but perhaps unrelated, her husband announced today that he is running for Council member Houston's seat, which I believe she's. I don't think she's vacating. She's just running out the clock. Yeah. So anyway, so we wish her the very best and appreciate her work.
Two or three other people running.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So down to real new business. 4B, Commission's annual internal review report, due on July 31st, 2018. An initial draft of this was sent over to me by Lynn. I've looked through it. Has anyone else got a chance to see it yet or no?
I saw it.
It's the chair's responsibility. Okay. You have the option of
You have the option of bringing it to the commission. I don't even think I did one last year because I just got so busy last year.
Which is why this one has to cover your
stuff. Someone may have artfully noted that there was a gap in time that she covered.
She was very diplomatic.
Yeah. Should we have to go back and do everything over again?
No.
Margo Fraser here.
Oh, good.
No. I mean, literally, the report is ludicrous. It's just literally a recitation to council, to the Audit and Finance Committee of what we did last year. It's like,
yeah.
Print out our minutes. That's our annual report.
That's exactly what it is. You've all approved the minutes, and so if you've approved the minutes, you would find this document unshockingly recognizable. again, going back to the good old straw poll, unless I see a strong show of hands, I'll probably just go ahead and get that approved. I will tell you that in addition to the minutes, the only thing that I've asked Lynn to add was just a very partisan sentence at the bottom about how the commission looks forward to continuing our work and communication with council, the mayor, and the Charter Review Commission as we go through whatever iteration of this process is. So kind of putting
how effective we are and how we all get along.
That's right, and that's definitely in there. So with no objection, I'm going to let her make those small tweaks and get that to me for approval.
There's a motion down from the center of the table to add the words "we are not Seattle" into the
declined. Motion denied. So that's my only lady, unless you've got something you want to add. Okay. I'll take a motion to, you all got the minutes
Second, third, fourth.
So a motion to approve the minutes from the May 19, 2018 regular commission meeting. So moved by Commissioner Spate, seconded by, I'm going to give it to Commissioner Soberon. all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Abstained from Commissioner O'Hare, I assume because he was not present. So all in favor except for Commissioner O'Hare abstained. Future agenda items and future meetings. So I know we're all ready to get out of here, but I don't want to glaze over this too quickly. So the action item that Commissioner Thompson has on his plate is to pretty up the document and add appropriately the way the items that we added. Perhaps he's already kicked that can down the road to staff. They're shaking their heads, acknowledging. So with the question? With the exception of taking care of that item, I'm willing to entertain discussion for future agenda items. Commissioner Danberg.
I don't want to do it tonight, but I think that I would like to get us to have another working group specifically to deal with J. Michael's suggestion and with mine about exculpatory evidence. And anybody else? And have We're Not Seattle be part of it. and I'd like to do that at the next meeting.
There's nothing prohibiting us from appointing that working group right now unless you want to wait.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be on the agenda in order to...
Correct.
Not to appoint.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, again, there's no motion, there's no vote on it or anything, so...
I'm willing to serve on that as well.
Perfect. Well, then I'm just going to stop it right there and hereby bestow Chair Emeritus Danberg of the working group with Commissioners Kale, O'Hare, and Einhorn.
I'd rather not chair it because I'm computer illiterate.
That's
somebody's going to have to do a better job than I do.
You're Chair Emeritus with senior technological guidance from Commissioner Einhorn. We can technically add one more person on there because we're an 11-member commission. Does anybody want to? I think four is probably good. Okay. So that working group is underway. Go forth and do good things. Other future agenda items? I think just to err on the side of caution, we should probably go ahead and put more discussion about the Charter Review Commission recommendations on the next agenda because this is not going away very likely. So I think unless anyone's opposed.
One question I had,
sure.
Which is kind of related to this. So we just need to clean up this document. We don't need to vote on it again once it's cleaned
Correct.
Up, right?
Correct.
Do we need to put it in the format of kind of a resolution or can we just say this is the report and this is what was approved?
I leave it like it is.
We have a template a recommendation.
Okay, good.
That is kind of short and
then
sweet.
Then we'll just attach that as an exhibit.
Yes.
Or as a attachment. Sorry, lawyer talk.
Yeah, no. And I think considering you spearheaded this and that we've kind of all agreed on how it looks. If there's a final version that staff wants to kick back to you just for a check off, I think that is certainly implied in our Commissioner Danberg's motion.
Great.
So, yeah, like I said, the only thing I want to make sure we have on the next agenda is just further discussion about the charter review recommendations. Even if we skip it because something's changed, I think it merits being on there.
We have no outstanding complaints.
We have no outstanding complaints that I'm aware of.
We do, don't we? We have one coming in August.
Yeah, there's one that's been postponed a few times.
Forgive me. Yeah, when I say outstanding, no new ones that we've tabled or anything, just the one that we had. Yeah, and so that is scheduled for August. Do we meet in July? I don't think we do. Or do
you
we?
Have
we
it do? Scheduled. Yeah.
We have a scheduled meeting, but you have a lot of power now.
I will likely not be in attendance if there is.
Okay.
I will also be out of town in July.
Genuine question. You're not going to hurt my feelings if y'all burst my bubble. Considering that the charter review thing is still very much in flux, do we think we should keep the July meeting scheduled just to be safe? Or I'm seeing hard head shakes from the far end of the table.
I think the document will speak for it. So
you can keep it, and then you can cancel it on your own authority if there isn't a reason to have it.
I realize that
it's the 11th right now.
There's nothing pressing on the.
I will not be here. I will not. I'm out of the country. So
it's on the 11th at this point.
Mark.
remind me, former chairman. I can with how much notice?
Meeting. Yeah, I think the only.
He did. He's done it
sometime
the day before.
I think we have to cancel the meeting within the 72-hour window under the Open Meetings Act, right? But other than that, we can. Yeah.
Okay.
72 hours.
So I will propose that we leave it as scheduled, and likely, unless something raucous occurs, I will take care of it a few or 4 or 5 days before. And certainly that's incumbent upon all of y'all. If there's something you want discussed, make sure you let me know. Please.
So I'm going to correct something I said earlier about, so the recent council amendments included both an exculpatory provision and an appeals process.
Really?
To the Audit and Finance Committee of Council. And so I will highlight those provisions.
Oh, yeah. If you send those to the work group, that'd be great.
I'll send it to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other new items to be added to the agenda?
May I make a highly privileged
hearing
motion?
Hearing and seeing none.
Vice Chair is not allowed to make highly privileged motions anymore.
Bull. Bull.
I think I see a highly privileged.
Thanks to the working group members.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks to the new chair and vice chair.
Yeah.
Thanks to our staff. Lynn, you're wonderful. And it's been really great to work with you on this charter review stuff because you've seen both sides of it. So, Sue, always.
Agreed. So, agreed. Highly privileged motion.
And thanks
from
to all the other contestants. It's been so great.
Highly privileged motion from Vice Chair Spate with no opposition. We are adjourned. Seconded by Commissioner Shobra.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And it's such a pleasure to serve on this.